We're back. It's Let's Talk Life. Carl, we have been talking life now for 27 episodes, and we are talking the life message. It's Christ as life. Christ is everything. Jesus is everything. Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
Colossians 1:27. So it's been a journey. Life in Christ is a journey. It's just a reality. We're always going to be on this journey. I think in this phase of time and life that we experience, that's what steps us into our topic today. It's a done work. The joy of that is this, a phrase I think that we've come to many times, Carl, in our discussions. The Christian life begins at the finish line. And so kind of a beginning question, or maybe a question that we can ponder throughout this time together, is starting, if we're starting at the finish line, what does the finished line living or the finished line life look like?
What does it look like, right?
Yeah,
it's fascinating.
So I don't know. Yeah. Just a beginning thought.
Yeah, well, it's fascinating that when you grow up in the church, and again, it's very interesting when you have conversations with people who didn't grow up in the church. You know, my story, your story is similar, a little different. But people who didn't grow up in a Christian home or didn't grow up going to church sometimes don't have the same struggles of performance-based living that growing up in the church people can have. And I just found that very interesting. And so for me, you know, thinking that people have arrived, I mean, how crazy is that, right? Because the Apostle Paul says, I haven't attained, like I haven't, I'm not there yet. Like I haven't reached full maturity. And yet, and especially in the Western church, there's this idea that, well, so-and-so's arrived. And so those are the expectations. So if I'm still struggling, if I keep doing the same thing, if I just keep getting lost in my flesh, then I'm just feeling, well, I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to be good enough.
Right.
But the idea of starting, like that I have to finish the race and I have to run the race set before me, but Jesus has already made me the winner.
Amen.
He's already made me the champion. So I'm running the race set before me, but instead of starting at the beginning, I got to work really hard and strive and earn and perform. I'm actually beginning in the winner's lane at the finish line. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It totally does. And it's just so phenomenal. Yeah. We do to get in the way or to place ourselves really back under religious law. But man, so there are a couple of things that are going to really relate. I think I found that I sent you this picture of the inside of a book cover that our grandpa, who was a pastor, and he had a library of, you know, all of his study materials, much different, I'm sure, no question about it, different than what we have today with the internet and with the podcasts and with all the different teachings and stuff that you can get to. But he has this library, and I took a picture and sent it to you with a little note that actually he had written from the library, you know, of David H. Records. That was our grandfather. And he said this: the gospel begins, as he wrote in the book, the gospel brings us not to a work to do, but a word to believe about a work done.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that sat with you, you know, just first of all, I think just seeing that, something hit, I think, deeply for both of us, and you can talk to that if you want to as well, but just seeing that, I think you wrote something back about, man, just seeing his handwriting.
Right.
Kind of, he passed away, so it's kind of this flashback of his life and our life and, you know, old memories of just growing up within the context of our family. And so there's a lot that kind of comes up with all of that, but just so awesome, too, that something that he wrote in the cover of his book just touched our lives this week. And this is such a beautiful picture. And it's like saying what we're really preaching now as well, which I think is really sweet as well. So I don't know what you think about that.
Just that whole idea of work, right? Just, and I had a great walk with Jennifer the other day, and she said something, and it just made me click in my mind of how in evangelical churches, I don't know who's listening to this podcast, but in evangelical churches, we're very quick to say, well, we're not like the Catholic Church. We don't yeah. teach works. And yet, if you just look at what we've done in the American church system, it's like grace gets you in barely. And then it's all right. works. It's all merit-based. Yes. And those that have been there the longest, or those that have the loudest voice, or those that give the most, whatever it is, they're the ones. And so I just love this whole idea. The gospel brings us not a work to do. Again, in our circles, Zach, everyone's, well, what do I do now? What do I do now? What do I do now? And we get it from Bible. Right. I mean, all the things from yeah. Bible. Saul of Tarsus, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? So we said, well, what do you want me to do? And it's right. just, well, to believe, to receive, right?
Yes.
To receive yeah. this gift. And yeah. So, yeah, I appreciated that too, just seeing that in his handwriting.
Right, right. Yeah, it's amazing. It's a finished work. It's a work that's already done. So it's a done work. And, man, we don't have to strive for it. We just simply need to trust. And I think that in itself is very difficult, because we come from even a culture of, and we come from a lifetime of independence.
Yes.
And living the way that we feel is best for us. And we're, you know, doing something for God, and we're asking God to come and put his blessing on it. And we have it all kind of backward, for sure. But this week I was reading too, and this kind of relates, you know, just in regards to the law. I wasn't even reading it. It led me to read it, of course, but I was listening to a little teaching on Galatians chapter 2. And it brought me to Galatians 2:19, which when I first read it kind of is like, man, I got to chew on this. I got to think about this. And this is right before the profound real answer to how do we live the Christian life in Galatians 2:20.
Yeah,
it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
Amen.
But the verse right before it says, for through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. And so it just right away, I was like, I have 100 questions. Like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
And so through the law, I was just like, through the law, I died to the law? Like, what's going on here? And this is what's so enjoyable about the journey, is that the biggest part of the journey is saying, okay, God, I'm really confused by this. You speak.
Yeah.
You talk to me.
Right.
You know, I want to hear from you, God.
Right.
And it's so different than the journey of, we just have to conclude what we can conclude, and then we're going to push it as dogmatically as we possibly can.
Right.
To make everybody else believe the same way that we believe about
it. Right.
And so through the law, I mean, this basically what it's saying is like every attempt to live according to the law really has left us empty. It's left us failing to do so, unable to do so.
Yeah. And
that's really the work of the law. It's really the purpose of the law, is to bring us, it's the tutor. It's the guide to lead us to Christ, to say, you can't do this on your own. You need Jesus.
Right.
And so it really refers to the role that the law played in Paul's life here as he's writing, and to this realization that he has a need for Christ and new life in him. And then I love this. This is what I've heard. And this is what led me to really study this passage, was the phrase in there says, I died to the law. And the guy was saying, it's really better translated as not the law, because that is going to take me back to the Mosaic law. It's going to take me back to the moral law. And it's going to give me, you know, these lists of things. Okay, yes, I'm dead to those things. But what he said is better translated as I died to law. Hmm. And there's significance in just this alone, because we like to create our own law and build our own systems. And follow this, do these things. And I think that we're just really good at creating laws. And so man likes to create a system to follow and to adhere to. Right. And what this is saying is we've died to even man's attempt to create law.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. So, we don't really think we're doing it. We don't really see it as that.
Right.
You know, like for example, as you were talking, the first part of for through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. You know, one of the questions that someone might ask all the time. Okay, so I belong to Jesus now. What? How do I keep living this life out? How do I keep walking this? And so we'll give you a lot of rules, you know, to live it out. And so we stop at Galatians, like we didn't get to chapter 5. We never made it to 5, you know. So we'll, here's the Ten Commandments. Well, that makes sense. You know, that's in the Bible. And, you know, we'll go to, you know, some stuff in Matthew 5. And, okay, well, that makes sense because that's Jesus talking. And so it's like you had mentioned, I think it last our last podcast, just that's Old Covenant. That's Old Covenant teaching of how to live for God today or – if that's the right phrase, I don't think that's the right phrase, but that's the phrase that we use, right? How to live for God. Right. And it's actually the opposite, right? Galatians 2:20.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
And so this is, he's saying, I died to the law so that I might live to God. So if I hadn't died to God, if I hadn't died to the law, then I can't live.
Right.
I'm still dead. I'm still dead. I'm powerless.
Right. Yeah, it's like you're forgiven, but you're still dead.
Yeah.
So, and what Christ did, and that's what we just even celebrated with Easter, is this resurrection. That's what's so powerful about this life message, is what I call it, the life message.
Yes.
It's the message of God's love and God's grace, and it's all Jesus. And it's that resurrection power every single day.
Yeah.
It's not just a one-time service every year.
Right.
To celebrate and to go back and to remember. It's actually waking up every morning saying, God, you're my sufficiency.
Yeah.
You're everything that I need. I'm trusting in you, Jesus, today. And that's what brings me. I just love Wayne Jacobson's writing.
Yes.
And his thoughts. And so I'm back into that book, He Loves Me. And I covered chapter 17 with a group of guys yesterday. And it just kind of fit with all of the thoughts that I was already going for. The title alone, I just love, trying to earn points with someone who is no longer keeping score. And I thought this was so incredible because Wayne definitely has written some things that just have resonated as, first of all, so incredibly true. And as I study the scripture that he's pulling them from, and I look at that and I'm asking God, I'm like, this is so grippingly true. Right. And at the same time, some of the things he's saying, I've never, ever heard in my life before.
Right.
And it's like, how have I missed these incredibly important understandings? And I think he was a pastor, right, for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I don't think he understood it during those 20 years as a pastor.
No.
So he was on the same journey
as
exactly kind of where we're at.
Right.
So it's just really neat to journey with others through this and to learn and go through this stuff and just learn as we go.
I keep coming back to your journey and of just saying everyone's on their own journey and not everyone's going to get it. And it's okay because it is the Holy Spirit who reveals it. It's the Holy Spirit who illumines us. It's the Holy Spirit who shows us these things. So I just wanted to share that even before you get into this chapter that, okay.
It's okay. It is amazing to think about. And just even the premise of his book or the title of his book, He Loves Me. I think there's a lot of people within the Christian community that are genuinely born again, but they really just can't accept that reality. They can't say that about themselves. They want to say, yes, God is a loving God. And of course, he loved me enough to send Jesus.
Right, right.
But like in my day to day, I don't know that I can accept that. I don't know if I can believe that because I'm too wicked or I have too much sin in my life.
Wow.
That's what's so amazing about going to that point of receiving and understand that God is not keeping tally of all my sins.
Wow.
And that was John Lynch's words and the other two authors of The Cure saying that Jesus is not standing on the other side of the room, disappointed in your sin.
Right.
He loves you. And
amen.
He's with you.
Yeah.
And he can be in the presence even of your sin because he's God. We've shortchanged him. We've put him in a box to say that, oh, he can't be in the presence of sin. That's just been the way of us trying to make people shape up and do right. what they should be doing.
And going back to our grandfather's words, the work had already been done. The work has already been done. And so I want to hear, you know, your thoughts on this chapter, but one of the things that I loved about this chapter, you know, that trying to earn points with someone who's no longer keeping score, but I mean, both of us, you know, we're athletes. I don't know if we're still are, but we played sports, different sports, but there was a scoreboard, right? And the scoreboard kept the score. It told us who's winning, who's losing.
Yeah.
And I just love the phrase, our Father in heaven had never kept score because he wanted nothing more than to cultivate a relationship with us. He did that not by throwing my scorecard away, but by completely filling it out himself.
Right. Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, we died. That old man no longer lives. And I think that's the battles. We're always trying to resurrect that old man.
Yeah.
And we're trying to make new and do better with the old man when the reality is that old man is dead and I'm a new creation. I have a new spirit and a new heart that has been placed within me. And so the question always is, and this is something that I'm bringing to a conference here this coming weekend.
Awesome.
How do we live this out is kind of the question
that
I'm going to lay out for people to have. Kind of a dialogue of what this looks like. And that's where this really brings us to is because that's what people are always really asking. That's where he gets to in this book that he just says our only choice is whether or not to live loved. Like the reality of God loving us is always there. But are we really going to receive what he's given to us? And it's not just like, oh, I received this in salvation. It's every day waking up and saying, okay, God, I'm choosing today to live loved. I'm trusting in who you are in me. This is truly the challenge, I think, of life in God's kingdom. How do I day in and day out? Because there are still frustrations. There are still bad drivers.
Right.
There are still kids that act up. There are still disappointments.
Sure. There's still disappointments, failed expectations. There's still moments where we can lose it. All those capabilities.
Right. So, the choice is made every day, he says, in every circumstance that you find yourself in. Do you trust that he loves you even in this, even in the midst of what you're going through? Or will you fall back on your own wisdom? And your own desires, and that's really the battle that's happening. That's really what we're facing on a day to day basis. And I love this. This is something that he says about not religion, but a relationship.
Yeah.
He says there are two ways to hide from God. You hide from God in rebellion and in religion.
Yeah.
And so going back to even that Galatians 2 passage and recognizing that. Yes, we are dead to that religious law, and we're also dead to the law that we create for ourselves.
Right.
And it's amazing how much, even in the ministry that we've had through the years, we wouldn't have called it religion. That was a curse word to us still during the midst of that.
Right.
We wouldn't have called it. That's what you've already been saying is we didn't even see it. We didn't even recognize it.
Right.
But the reality is anything that we're doing to create any sort of a system to add to what Jesus has done for us to help us to live this Christian life is really just religion. And it's no different than rebellion. They really fall into the same category.
Right.
It's us hiding from God.
Yes. So. It's a cheap substitute for the reality of life that's in him.
Oh, man.
Cheap.
Right.
And that's why it always left us empty. Say, isn't there more like that nagging thought of after a Sunday morning and it's like, wait a minute, really? Like, isn't there something more in this? Those fleeting thoughts wasn't all the time. It wasn't every day, but there are moments where you're like, isn't there more than this?
That's right. right? And that's the reality. Yeah, if we're not living out a Christ life, then we're always going to have those moments of asking, "Where is this? Where right. you know, where's this abundant life that you that you say you came to bring?" So even this the whole premise of rebellion or religion, it's all really summed up in that incredible story, the prodigal son. It's called, as we've titled it, man has titled it that, but there's really like three prodigals going on. Because a prodigal, from what I understand, is just kind of being extravagant. But you have this wild child who takes the money and runs and goes and lives like hell. And then you have this other son who's at home doing the religious duties. So one of them is in a rebellion. The other one is following the religious rules and doing everything right. But both of them are missing the father's love.
Yeah,
they're not recognizing that they have a father who genuinely just cares about them, and they're not living in that love. And it's just kind of such a beautiful picture of that.
Great picture.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, it's just so tragic that we can go through life for so long. Some people, their whole lives, knowing Christ as Savior, but not understanding Him as life, not really receiving this incredible gift of His love. It's not that it's not there.
No, that's so true. And it's like the, you know, you ask that question, how does this life lived? What, you know, and I love that quote at the bottom of page 138, where Wayne says the key to living a productive Christian life is not waking up. I mean, you've already said it once. It's not waking up every day trying to be loved by God. So God, I'm going to really try harder, and I'm going to stay away from this, and I'm not going to do this today. And we have this checklist of things, right? So the key to a productive Christian life is not doing that, but it's waking up in the awareness. See, you are already His beloved.
Yes.
You're already His beloved because you received the greatest gift, because you received Jesus. You're already.
Yeah. Yeah, we're already there. It's an amazing thing to comprehend. So it is one thing. Like I talk about the word know and knowing and having an intimate understanding. I think there's still, even like, you can step into truly knowing relationally who you are in Christ, but there's still like a struggle to live in that presence and in that reality, because life just is life.
Right.
And so that's the journey. That's the fellowship with one another. That's the encouragement to one another. And so, I mean, I had opportunity. Like on Sunday, I didn't go to church. I skipped church. And why? Because in the morning, a guy texted me and said, "I'm struggling. And I'm just not interested in anything spiritually. I'm not going to church. I'm not reading my Bible to say I'm just done." And so I just showed up at his house. And that's far more important, I think, even than let's get you to church. You need to go to church. It's far more valuable just doing life together and journeying with, you know, one with the other, because we're all in reality in that state at times of just, this is frustrating, or I'm hurt, or I'm disappointed. So thank you, Jesus. It's already a done work. We can run this incredible race from the podium, from the top spot on the podium. What a joy. So I think that shuts us down for this week. What a blessing to talk life.